Our scripture reading tonight is found in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 32. The particular verses that we'll look at are verses 6 through 8. In chapter 32 in the book of Job, a new person is introduced to us by the name of Elihu, who is not one of the three friends of Job. He's a younger man. And the first part of the book of Job has been three rounds of discussion between Job and his three friends over why God has so severely afflicted him. And Job has come to the end of his desire to speak anymore with his three friends. The last verse of chapter 31, the words of Job are ended. So Job has just announced to his three friends, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu, his three friends, I am finished speaking with you, and now this new man, Elihu, will speak in chapter 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachiel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachiel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. I said, they should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons, while ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words, lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. Now he hath not directed his words, that is, Job, has not directed his words against me. Neither will I, Elihu, answer him, Job, with your speeches. I won't repeat what you three have said. They were amazed. They answered no one. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I will show mine opinion, for I am full of the matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak, that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. Verses 6 through 8, and especially verse 8. And Elihu, the son of Barachiel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the understanding of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this past week, our schools have opened their doors. And in this month, as a congregation, we are going to return to our season of catechism classes and of Bible studies. And I trust and pray that upon reflection of these things, we don't simply say to each other today, "Where did the summer go? Back to the old grind." But I pray and trust that your heart and my heart, when we think about it, respond, "Oh, happy people, favored of the Lord, to whom the Lord with liberal hand hath thus his goodness shown. Yea, surely is that people blessed by whom Jehovah is confessed to be their God alone." That we respond in the words of Moses in Deuteronomy, "O people, blessed of the Lord, to whom has God shown such pleasure as he has unto you, his people, a people who has God nigh to them, as the Lord our God is to us." When we look at these things, our Christian schools, our catechism, our Bible studies, all the blessings, the spiritual blessings that God has poured out from the windows of heaven upon our souls, looking at those things and then looking at ourselves, sometimes we ask the question, "How is it, Lord, that we have not lost these things? We are so weak and we become so complacent. How is it that thou art pleased yet to keep these things among us?" And the Lord responds to us, "Because I have a pleasure in you. Because I am your faithful covenant God, I will not forsake you." And so we have our schools where we can equip our children to walk as children of light in the midst of this world. We have our catechism classes so that we might, by the Spirit of God, inscribe upon the heart of the children and the young people the treasures of eternal life, the sound words of Jesus Christ. And we have our Bible studies so that we may build ourselves up together, as Jude says, in the most holy faith, that we might be rooted and grounded together in Christ. And I pray that all of this that I speak now is not simply platitudes, but truly the expression of what abides in our hearts as we look upon this year, our Christian schools and catechism and Bible studies. But all of these activities, all of these efforts, all of the energy that we put into these things, it's all predicated, it's all based upon one essential belief and a corollary of that one belief. That one belief is that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It has been inspired by the Almighty. It is therefore the Bible is the truth, the only truth without error. And if by grace that does not live in our hearts, then it's all empty. And it cannot be preserved. When a church, whatever the denomination, when the church no longer believes that the Bible is God's holy word, inspired in all of its parts, there can be nothing done ultimately to revive such a church. And if we grow complacent to the Word of God. And then there is a necessary corollary with that truth that the Bible is the Word of God. And that corollary is the one that's being emphasized in our text tonight, that We need the illumination of God's Holy Spirit if we are to gather understanding from the Word of God. The inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. It must be the Spirit. The Spirit of God makes a Christian. The Spirit of God opens our eyes to understand, to grasp, to love, and to receive those things of the kingdom. We pray for ourselves and for our children that the inspiration of the Almighty, the work of the Holy Spirit illumining the heart through the Scriptures, may give them understanding. So we look at that tonight. We take our theme, especially from verse 8, the inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. And let's see, first of all, the only source for the understanding, the great importance of the understanding, and a few practical evidences that we have that understanding. I said that in Job chapter 32, we meet for the first time a new man called Elihu, who is a young man, and his words are going to be blessed and approved of God. The word or the name Elihu means, "My God is He," or "My God is the One." And the idea is, He's the One who can. He's the One who's able. The name is very similar to what Jesus said, "My Father is greater than all." So Elihu's name declares a confidence in God. "My God is He." Elihu, we learn from this chapter, was a relative of Abraham. He's the son of Barachiel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Buz, or Buzites, descended of Buz. Buz was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor. Buz then was the nephew to Abraham, and Elihu is a descendant of the nephew of Abraham. And as I said, for 29 chapters in the book of Job, he has been sitting. He tells us he's been sitting there quietly. We didn't know he was there. We simply knew in those chapters that Job and his three friends went back and forth trying to answer the question, how can a just God unleash such sufferings upon Job? And the three friends in Job have dealt with this question intensely back and forth, and Elihu, this younger man, was present, listening carefully to everything that is said. You remember that in the book of Job, Job, who is that man who feared God and eschewed, spit out evil, that God in His sovereignty subjected him to trials, that he lost all of his possessions. He was a wealthy man. He lost them all in one day. He lost 10 children in one day. And then his entire body became afflicted with boils so that he was scraping the pus off with broken shards of a pot. And his wife had told him, curse God and die, be done with it. But instead, Job had risen up and worshipped God and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He had said, praise to God. Then in chapters 3 through 31, as I said, the three friends in Job, his three older friends had come to comfort him. And these three friends have gone back and forth with Job on the reason of why God has done that. And the three friends have all agreed in one speech that God does not do things without a reason. And therefore, Job has received these things because of some unconfessed sin, some way of evil that he had hidden from everybody else. And this is why God had so tried him. And Job had responded to them. It had responded to them to speak to them of the integrity that God had given to him in his heart, that he knew he was a sinner, but that he sought to be a repentant sinner daily and that there was no such thing in him at that time, he became more and more animate to them about it. And as we saw the last words of chapter 31, Job says, "My words to you are ended." And now Elihu, who has waited and listened, will now speak. "Behold," he says, verse 11, "I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons while you searched out what to say." He was a young man. He did not spout off in a youthful know-it-all. You don't need to tell me. Arrogant attitude. But he showed wisdom and that he was silent. And he let years old men speak, and he weighed carefully what they said. Two words that characterize him are deference and diffidence. He showed deference, he deferred to age. Verse 7, "Days should speak, and multitude of truth should teach wisdom." You couldn't pull a word out of him because there are older men present. And he deferred to them, let them speak. And then he had diffidence. He didn't place stock in his youthful opinions. He did not simply say because his mind had greater, at that age, abilities and quickness. He was not eager to match his youthful thoughts with aged men on this subject. He said, "I am young and you are old. I was afraid. I dared not to open my mouth to show you my opinion." He was wise. But as he listened, and because as he says in verse 8, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding, as he listened, he found that he became angry at Job and his three friends. "Then was kindled," verse 2, "the wrath of Elihu against Job because Job justified himself rather than God." He saw that as Job continued in his arguments with his three friends, he emphasized more and more that he was clean of the charge of unrighteousness rather than emphasizing more and more about God. He saw that Job was speaking vehemently, more and more about himself, and not vehemently about God, and had become resigned about what God was going to do because God had his own reasons. And then he says he became angry against the three friends because they found no answer, and yet they condemned Job. They had judged Job to be a hypocrite, to be unreliable, that he was living in sin, but they had refused to listen to him when he explained to them that that was not the case, and yet they did not withdraw the charge, even though Job pleaded with them. It's not so. It's not so. They didn't take away the charge. And so it's these two things, Job's loss of focus upon God and the folly of the three friends, that now will cause Elihu to speak. And if may add just this point, in the rest of the book, Elihu is going to speak from chapters 32 through 37. And when he's done speaking, Job will not respond to him. He will basically nod in agreement with what he says. And then at the end of the book, God is going to reprove Job's three friends for what they said. But God is not going to reprove Elihu. But now in our text, the question arises, how does he presume, as a young man before these men, before such a difficult a difficult issue. You can hardly conceive of a more difficult thing to speak on. Why has God done this to his son Job? Why? How does he presume that he can speak on it? The inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding, is his response. And the point that the Spirit of God is making now in Elihu, this is an important point in the text to understand it. The point that is being made by God in his word to us tonight is that spiritual understanding or wisdom, synonymous spiritual understanding, wisdom, is not a product of age. Age may sharpen it, but it's not a product of your years. It's not a product of your experiences. Your experiences may sharpen it. Wisdom is not a product of old years, nor for that matter is wisdom a product of youth. That a young person, because they're talented and able and confident, that they have wisdom because of that. It's not a product of those things. It's not a product simply of age or experience or mental abilities. But understanding comes only from the inspiration of the Almighty God upon the spirit of a man through the Holy Scriptures. That's what he's saying. He says wisdom, verse 9, is not necessarily with those who are successful. Great men are not always wise, neither do aged men always understand judgment. Just because a man has been successful, don't conclude that he's wise. Education does not make a man wise of itself. The mere fact that a person has gray hair or a bald head, or is a talented genius in college, is no indication that the person has wisdom or understanding and is qualified to say anything. God gives wisdom by his spirit into the spirit of a man through his word, is what God is saying to us tonight. Wisdom is not the product of age. It's not simply to be found in a wrinkled face. It's not simply to be found in a quick, youthful intelligence which can solve problems. This is no indication of wisdom. Remove age as the dominant cause of wisdom. When we search for wisdom, don't ask, how old is he? How old is she? But ask, do we hear the Spirit of God, the illumination of the Almighty through his word, the inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding? David in Psalm 119 says something very similar at verses 99 and 100. I have more understanding. He's a young man. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Now, this is an important warning for us. As we grow older, we must not think that our opinions, because we've held these opinions so long, are true, but we must constantly be bringing our opinions and our judgments to the Word of God. And this is a warning to us as young people that simply because we think we know, that's not true. No one knows. No one has understanding, says God, unless you receive it from me through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From whom should we seek wisdom? From those who show the evidence that by the grace of God they bow before God's word, and God has given them to understand his word. Let's look at that very carefully, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, in the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Let's tear that apart a little bit. Objectively, we could say that the inspiration of the Almighty, the inspiration of the Almighty, is the Bible. This is the inspiration of the Almighty. The word inspiration, as you know, means to breathe. And we think immediately of what we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This inspiration means to be breathed from the very breath of God. This Bible is the product of the inspiration of God and therefore is profitable, says Paul to Timothy, for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the people of God, may be complete and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is the inspiration of the Almighty God. That's what it is. When you hold the Bible in your hand, you are holding a book to which there is no other in the same class as this Bible. Whatever book you will take into your hand this week, whatever text you will read, whatever iPad you will scan, whatever it is not as this book. For this book is the inspiration of the Almighty God, the Almighty, the sovereign and the only God. And there is no equal to this book. It alone, reveals the truth because it is of the Almighty. But while that is true, that's still not the focus of our text. The inspiration of the Almighty in our text refers to the illumination of the Spirit of God upon the spirit of a child of God as he comes to the Scriptures. Elihu says, but there is a spirit in man. There is a spirit in us. Each person is given a spirit. It's similar to our soul. It's our spiritual attitude of heart. It's our how we perceive things, how we know things. It's how we perceive of God. It's how we perceive of ourselves, our spirit, our attitude. The Bible says that the spirit of man, as we're fallen sinners, is a haughty spirit, is a proud spirit, is a self-centered spirit. We come to understand that as Christians. Constantly we need to be humbled, for we are a proud spirit. Who is the Lord? Who's the Lord? Who is God that I should obey Him? That's our spirit. But then God, by His grace, renews our spirit. And then the Bible says that He gives to us a contrite and a lowly spirit, whom the Lord, remember how many scriptures, the lowly spirit will dwell with God, the contrite. Now the inspiration of the Almighty refers to the Holy Spirit as He illumines our spirit with the Word of God. When God inspires in this sense, He enlightens our spirit, our understanding, through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. He gives us, in this way, understanding. It means that the only way any child of God will ever be given understanding is by the work of the Holy Spirit illumining us through the pages of the Holy Scripture. Do you need understanding tonight? Who of us does not? It will be found when you humbly bow in prayer before an open Bible. God will inspire. God will make clear. God will give you grace. God will give you peace. God will make known His will. God will give you the wisdom that you need, the strength that you need for your calling. He'll give you understanding, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Not the freshness of your youth, not the seasoning of your old age that may sharpen you, not your smarts. Your smarts don't give you understanding. Not your experiences, but when we are submissive to the Word of God as the Holy Spirit shines it in our hearts. Do you know that source? Do you know this? Because God has worked this in your heart. And you have come to Him and you have said, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant listeneth." You've come to the Scripture. Devotionals are very good. A good biblical devotional is the inspiration of the Almighty that God gave to that person. A devotional is very good for your spiritual life. Good Christian books are very good. We need to know what other men have seen in the Scriptures and learn from them. We need to read. We need to read. But the inspiration of the Almighty, while all of that is beneficial, is here. Right here. Which you may read. You read. With a humble heart of love and trust, and God will give you understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Are you reading the Bible with a searching heart? This is greatly important. It gives us understanding. Now, what is understanding? I've been using this synonymous wisdom. Understanding is, again, not the same as intelligence. Children, God will give you understanding through His Bible. He will. But you know, understanding is not something that your teacher can grade with an A, B, or C. Your teacher can grade other things, your Bible tests, your math tests. He'll grade those. She'll grade those with A, B's, and C's. But you don't do that with understanding in your heart. Understanding is that grace whereby we perceive, whereby we believe. Understanding is when God gives us to see God in all of His glory and majesty and beauty. Understanding is when God truly gives me to see myself as that sinner in the misery of my sin. Understanding leads me to the cross of Jesus Christ revealed in the Scriptures so that by faith I see that I must cling to God. Understanding is to see that God is gracious and faithful, and He will guide me in my pathway. Understanding is to dethrone all the opinions of this world and of myself, and desire that God is enthroned on my heart, and it brings peace in turmoil, comfort in sorrow, contentment. And this understanding is given by the inspiration of God, the illumination of God, and this understanding triumphs over all human wisdom and over all human power. There is no power on earth that can overcome that understanding. If that is placed in the hearts of our children, nothing can root or destroy that understanding. The inspiration of the Spirit of God through the Word of God changes our hearts and renews our lives. Gives us peace. You must search the Scriptures. A child who reads can learn to read. If they can't read, you read for them. A child receives understanding from the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. This is crucial. This is crucial for our schools. Crucial for our Christian schools is a reverence for the Word of God. And crucial in our Christian schools, principal, teachers, school board, parents, all of us, is the awareness that we need the Holy Spirit's blessing to illumine the minds of our children so that they understand a subject in the light of God's Word. And therefore, we need to pray. We need to pray for our teachers, because they must not only become that instrument of the Holy Spirit as they open the Scriptures to our children, they must not only be the instrument to give understanding, but our teachers will tell you they need this understanding. As they are with our children day in and day out, with their weaknesses and sins, with different children as to how that child learns and how that child learns and the differences and all the many questions they need. They're falling down on their knees asking God for understanding in Jesus Christ. We need to pray for them. They need understanding when suddenly the student blurts out the question that you've wanted this student to ask for 6 months, and you were prepared 2 months ago to answer it, but now suddenly out comes the question. You need understanding as a mother, as a father, as a teacher. And this is what we're praying for. We're praying that God will bless our homes. The home is foundational. And bless the extension of the home in our Christian schools. Because our children are in the last day. And we want for them understanding. To see God and His will. This is crucial for us if we're going to stand as a people of God with our children in this last evil day of the world. We pray that our young people, that all of us be given this spiritual awareness of who we are in the midst of this world. We pray that they understand that we are not of this world. Spiritually, we have been called out of the world by the grace of God. That's a Christian, someone who has been called out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ. A Christian is not simply a moral person. Is he a moral person? Yes, That's not the definition of a Christian. He's someone who has been brought out of the darkness of this world and now loves Christ and realizes that we don't belong to this world. We're not pursuing this world. And we're able to discern between truth and the devil and what it means to do God's word. We need understanding. And this is crucial for our life in the church, in family and in marriage, in every aspect of our life. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Men, can you repeat the verse with me? Husbands, dwell with your wife according to understanding. As a husband, you need understanding. Where are you going to get it? The inspiration of the Almighty upon the Scriptures gives you understanding. Elders and deacons, pastors, Jeremiah chapter 3 says the promise of God is that He will give to His people pastors, elders, and ministers after His own heart who shall feed the congregation with understanding. Understanding. Where are you going to get that? Where are you going to get that understanding? From the Scriptures. Seminary student. To become a minister of the Word of God. Where is he going to get understanding? From theological books? John Calvin? Very important. Very important. But is that book going to give him understanding? No, it will not. The inspiration of the Almighty from the Scriptures will come an understanding heart. Is this what we want? Yes. Why do we want this? To glorify God? Yes. How will it show that we have it? Well, now let's look and we'll conclude at this point with Elihu. How do you know you have the inspiration of the Almighty? The gift of understanding. Here are some things. We will be slow to speak and quick to listen. Now Elihu waited till Job had spoken, because they were older. He says, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons while you searched out what to say. The Spirit of God, which gives us wisdom in our hearts, understanding, the Spirit of understanding, will mean that we are not in love with our own words. That we are not hasty. We are not impulsive with our words. That Spirit makes us conscious of our frailness, of our fallibility. And so James says, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, because whatever comes of more than that is sin. So easy for us, not just as young people, it's so easy for us to be presumptuous, to be cocky, and to become and to lose the gentleness and the meekness of wisdom. So easy for us to think. So we're going to be slow to speak, we're going to be humble. That's the first evidence. It's so easy for us to think that we know more. We just know more than that other person. We get patient with them because we know. Well, beloved, sometimes maybe that's true that we do know, but you know the difference between what we know and that other person knows is about that much. and the difference between what we know and what we have not yet known and need to know from God is the distance between me and 48th Avenue. We have so much to learn. We'll be slow to speak. Number two, we will have an anger, a holy anger, when God is belittled. Elihu became angry. He became angry basically because God was no longer vehemently being presented in all of his goodness and glory. Job, in his defense of himself, had lost track of the God who he loved in his sovereignty. And therefore, when we're filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, we will become angry when God is belittled. When his word is belittled. When God is accused. Or when our concern, or the concern of a person, is more about himself and being right than God. We'll be, number three, passionate for the word of God. Elihu tells us he had to speak. In verse 18, he says, it's like a cork on a bottle of wine. It is stirring within me. Elihu doesn't lose control when he speaks, but he says, I have to say something. So it was not that Elihu clammed up and then suddenly blew up. No, it was because he was very passionate. Very passionate for the word of God. And let's learn not to silence our little children. We need to correct them. We need to help them in their discerning. But when our little children something that you taught them before the neighbors, they witness. We say out of the naivety of their hearts, they say it. Don't put your hand in front of them. The inspiration of the Almighty standing. They're passionate about the Word of God. They want to say it. Let them say it. If they need to be corrected in certain points, do that, but don't tell them they shouldn't have said anything. That. And finally, we will comfort each other. The inspiration of the Almighty will mean that whether you're old or young, as you speak from that inspiration, you will be able to edify. You will be able to build up your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we want for another school year. This is what we want out of catechism. This is what we want out of our Bible studies. This is what we want out of the preaching of God's Word. We want the inspiration of the Almighty. Give us that we would have understanding. May God grant that petition. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We say the conclusion almost of every sermon. But may we truly mean it. We thank Thee for the inspired Scripture. And for the faithful Holy Spirit given to illumine our spirit so that we might know the mind of God. Grant that we may have this understanding, both old and young. Amen.